You should see it out there. They're all going crazy for you. They're saying you're a bad influence on me. Well, guess what? That's life!
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We're Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my love, my best friend, my partner in crime, Joe. What's up, Joe?
You forgot to say ride or die.
I'm sorry, my player two. I can go on. We can go on for player like two. Too long.
Co-op partner for life.
You see what I said? Too long.
Oh, yeah. I see.
You see what I did?
Yeah, I see what you did.
Well, today we're talking about a movie that seems extremely divided across movie fans and comic book fans and every kind of fan. We're talking about Joker. Foley Adu? We're behind because we just had a hurricane, and so we are kind of behind on everything. We're trying to catch up, so we're just doing multiple movies this weekend.
Yeah, we just got back from Spookala convention in Tampa,
and they just shut down our theater during the hurricane, and they just opened up, so we got there as soon as we could, and we're trying to check them all out.
Yeah, so we're a bit behind on our big screen experiences.
Yeah, so this is our second, and I know this came out while we were in Spookala doing the convention. And that's a shame because I wanted to see this, and I'm very interested. And I'm even more so now on the divided fandom or the complete explosion of what this movie is to people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of even more hyped up to see it just out of curiosity. Not because I'm like excited to see the movie itself, but just because I want to know what side of the fence I'm going to fall on.
Okay, well, I also feel the same, but there's a huge part of me that from minute one of the trailer, I just was not interested in this. I just had really weird feelings. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Joaquin Phoenix, and I think Lady Gaga's great. But I feel like there's something off about this. I don't know. I've only seen the trailer. Over and over, but I don't know. There's just, I feel something off about it. So I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh yeah. And I'm seriously doubt if you didn't like the trailer, I'm doubting that you will even find it interesting because I had the opposite of effect of you. I saw the trailer and I really think the trailer was good and I didn't need more. I think it kind of hit the nail on what it seems to be about and what it's trying to do. But I have a feeling the trailer is, for me, is going to be better than the film. I don't know. I really have no idea. And just this whole idea of Todd Phillips making a musical, which I hear it might not even really be a musical. So I'm so interested in where this division is coming from. And I will say this. I think a big part of the problem is this a sequel that needed to be made? Because the first one was pretty damn good. And since he's not going to be the Joker in the universe of Batman in any sense, it's almost like it's not necessary.
Right. Well, just to add something to what you just said about it, you're not sure it's going to be a musical. I heard that it 100% is a musical and that the song's blatantly beat you over the head. It's too much.
Interesting.
That's okay. What I heard.
I've heard multiple things that it just doesn't seem to commit. Now, I hate that we know a little too much, but since it's been a couple weeks, we have been bombarded with information.
Yeah, freaking Instagram, but we're late to the party, so it's not anyone's fault. It's ours, you know?
Yeah, and I didn't read any. I just saw blurbs. You know, I didn't read any. I didn't watch any videos. I don't know a damn thing.
Yeah, well, I didn't read any of the spoilerific reviews. If I saw a blurb that might indicate some spoilers, I just moved along.
Yeah.
But I did read, unfortunately, on MSN, they had a review of it, and I just briefly read that there's a lot of songs in it. So
okay, well, you hire a musician, like a famous pop star,
yes,
to be in your film. You feel like you're definitely doing that.
Mm-hmm.
What I like is the concept of the musical being what this movie, I would assume this movie will be, is his like his mind and his mindset, and this is like a trip into his psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't believe any of it. It will be actual in the movie. You know, and I don't believe it's really happening.
I agree with that. Yeah. I definitely feel that way as well. So, I don't know. I mean, I can't really speculate because I just heard that, you know, it is, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of songs in it. And I don't know. From minute one, I was just not a huge, you know, I was not really into it. So, I'm hoping to come out of this with maybe a 6.
Yeah, me too.
I'm hoping, but I don't know. I guess, can't say.
Should we say how we feel about the first one?
I thought the first one was great.
Yeah, it's great. And it yes, it's very referential of other movies.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely the king of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And Taxi Driver mixed.
Yeah,
into
we
one
said
film.
That when we saw it, yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be apologetic about it.
No.
I mean, he put Robert De Niro in the film. Mm-hmm. He plays both the lead actors in those movies. So he seems to be understanding of it. And I'm wondering what the takeaway here is. Like, what is his inspiration to do this movie here? So I'm intrigued. I will say that I am cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I have a feeling that, and this seems to happen to me a lot, I usually like the things that people seem to hate.
You do, yeah. You
so
do.
I'm a little interesting because sometimes I see a little bit something different in what other people just are looking for. So I'm not looking for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see a cool little psychological tale.
Yeah.
With the Joker being a backdrop.
Yeah, and I do like Joaquin Phoenix a lot, and I can watch him do pretty much anything. So I'm here for it. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm excited. I would say cautiously optimistic is a decent phrase.
Yeah, if there was a good phrase to go into a movie, it's cautiously optimistic. I use it a lot, so I think it works here perfectly. So, yeah, let's go check it out.
Okay.
You are no different than any of those people that underestimated me.
Arthur, don't tell us yourself. It isn't you.
It isn't me. So you don't think this is me? Well, maybe you don't know who I really was.
Arthur Fleck is a monster. And his depraved acts led to riots all over the country.
And we're back, and we just saw a really conflicting, confounding film. A battle of two movies, you would say. This is an interesting beast. I mean, I would say that maybe like the first 20 minutes of watching The Joker, how do you say it? Fully
Adieu?
About 20 minutes into watching the movie, I was thinking to myself, I know exactly how I'm going to start the podcast. I'm going to ask Joe, do you really think this is a bad movie? And then I would say the 45-minute mark happened. And then I said, well, I can't ask that question anymore because I'm not really sure what this is. Then we get to the end of the film and I go, I guess the real question is, why is this movie? You know, like, I feel like that's the question to ask you. Why do we even have this movie?
Okay, well, the only way I can answer that is basically, I believe they made another one of these just because of the success of the first one. Because, you know, he was very praised. And when I say he, I mean Joaquin Phoenix, for his portrayal of Joker. And I think that they were probably riding high, and they were probably thinking, well, maybe we should do another one and see how that goes. Maybe we can turn this into like maybe a trilogy or something.
I doubt a trilogy, because this movie did not try to do a trilogy.
No, no, not at all.
I have a feeling that this movie is kind of a response to the first movie and to that idea of why Joker is popular in media. I feel like they made this movie because he realized that he's kind of adding to that hero worship
that we can't stand.
Yeah, and especially since when the movie came out, I think that all the incarnations of the Joker has always had a worry that there will be violence when the movie releases. And that is a really weird and scary thing. That people see kind of like a villain, and they gravitate toward that as being some kind of answer.
Right.
And I think all throughout history, that is something that is a very disturbing and violent thing about our culture and our society. And I have always found that the hero worship of Joker, or the fascination of the sick relationship that is Joker and Harley, I've always appreciated when the comic books decided to get away from that and kind of salvage her as a character, about how it was abuse and it is like a Stockholm syndrome and that kind of thing. And I've always like appreciated that about Harley Quinn. I've never really appreciated I know a lot of people hate Harley becoming like an anti-hero or joining the Bat family. I kind of enjoy that. So I've always kind of been on that side of it where I'm like, you know what? She is a damaged person, and that's the best kind of stories. The ones that the damaged person grows from it, learns from it. That's Batman in himself.
Right.
And I think that I've always appreciated that they've kind of rehabilitated some of the villains. Because after a while, it's like, how long can you go with this one character?
Right. You know? I just to add a little to what you said, I feel like the romanticizing of Joker and Harley, that I think that's, I don't understand why young girls these days find that love story so compelling. I never understood it.
I don't know if young girls are still doing it, but there are people out there who do seem to not understand or misinterpret the character.
I think it's, yeah, misinterpretation, 100%.
Yeah.
But I also feel that the glorification of a murderer is just never good, and it's actually a scary thing.
It's funny, coming off of a movie with Terrifier and then saying that kind of stuff, it is interesting. And it is conflicting. I do enjoy Joker as a character. I find psychology terrifying and interesting. And I've seen some odd debates about what the Joker is and who the Arthur Fleck Joker is. And I've seen a lot of odd stuff, like kind of reaching to explain it with some kind of political climate, some kind of thing. And I think that, sure, the political, you know, the whole spectrum of what's happening in politics right now is always going to affect our culture. But to say that it's somehow different now than it was then, the only difference is, you know, what kind of things we're gravitating toward. And if your politics are being shaped by some kind of, you know, lie or whatever that's happening right now, that definitely has been the change. And I don't know if Todd Phillips in particular was trying to get at that in the first movie, or just the kind of, like, exactly what King of Comedy is and what Taxi Driver was, which is about a flawed human and kind of how easily it is to become this villain and when society kind of drops you. And it is kind of that, you know, how the system is completely broken and it misses things through the cracks, and how, you know, there is something there to it. And I think that it's what he was getting at a little bit. At least that's how I read it. And so I feel like here he is definitely trying to step back from that a little bit and say, I get it. The system is flawed. And these things, and that's what I want with the first movie. But hero worshiping this is also a whole nother thing. And how at the end of the day, the person that you are hero, you know, like making into some kind of symbol, some kind of martyr, is actually just a weak, fragile person.
Right.
And I think this movie wanted to show that. And I think on that level, that is a fascinating movie, and I appreciate him trying to make that movie, you know, to make that statement, because it is very important. People don't realize these people that they hold up are just damaged people.
Yes.
And they don't give a damn about you.
Right.
You're making something, you're reaching, you're making a message for yourself. And I appreciate him for trying that. But unfortunately, it gets lost, because there are moments of kind of genius in this film and really interesting moments and great directing and acting. And then there's the other half of the movie that is the musical thing. And God, it doesn't particularly work. At one point, I thought it did. I think it was like the first song that came in. I think that when I kicked on, I went, okay, I like this. If this is how the movie's going to be, I like it. But then it really lost itself. It didn't understand how to keep it up in a way where it was entertaining. It's like they lost the ability to understand what was entertaining about it.
Right.
Or how it could be entertaining. And it just did it way too often, too much. And I feel like along the way, it makes you sigh. It makes you bored.
I did get bored at the last maybe 40 minutes of the movie.
Although it kept coming back again. I was like, oh, now it's coming back. It's interesting.
It lost me
again.
And then it bring me back, and then it lost me again, and then it would bring me back. But I do agree with you about the beautiful shots. There was a lot of beautiful directing here. There was Joaquin Phoenix. He can do anything.
I agree.
But I mean, he does some crazy stuff. Like, I mean, he loses weight and he looks almost unrecognizable and
it's creepy.
Emaciated at times, and it's very off-putting. But I understand, like, what he goes through for his art. It's just magnificent. He's magnificent himself. And I thought Lady Gaga did a good job here. I don't have any problems with her. I just feel like her character was not very organized. It was very poorly organized character. And I understand the chaos of Joker and Harley, and I get it. But I feel like I needed more structure here.
But she exactly is that thing we were talking about. What was good is like that the person who is trying to make the person the thing that they're not, to fit the narrative that they're hoping for.
Right. And then when he didn't fit the narrative,
it was like, and I think that's really interesting. And and that is one of the highlights of the movie, the concept of that, the setup of that.
Cause that's the brutal truth when you think about it.
Yeah. It is the brutal truth, and seeing that brutal, someone learning that brutal truth is a reality is fascinating. But the problem is she, unfortunately, is only wrapped up into that musical aspect. And I understand that's why they probably picked her. She is a great singer, and it's, you know, it's not doing it exactly any justice, you know, that they're singing on set and it's mostly like talk singing a lot. It's not clever enough. It's not interesting enough. And unfortunately, her character gets marred and completely muddled in that concept.
Yeah, like I feel like they're supposed to interpret their feelings and their anger and their just their all of their feelings and desires and everything through the songs, but it didn't come off that way. It was kind of, the songs were almost just thrown in there for no reason.
Sometimes
there was no rhyme or reason to a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the plot and the feeling of Joker and what he was going through kind of got lost in translation here a little bit, because I feel like the songs threw everything off instead of bring everything together. I feel like I was very confused at times. Like, okay, wait, is this happening in his head or it's not? Like, what is going on here? Is even the character of Lee Quinzel, is she even real? Like, at times I felt it was convoluted. It threw me for a loop. So I don't know. I would say that there was a lot of lost, confusing things going on here for me.
Yeah, it that was the thing about the first movie. And even things that I thought I knew about the first movie, kind of, this movie's kind of saying no.
Yeah. So
that's fascinating in itself.
It's confusing, though. It is confusing.
We just watched, and I put a review up of, on my Instagram page, I put up a review of The Platform 2. And I think what I was trying to talk about there is exactly the problems I have here, where it's like, now, if you're going to make a sequel, you have to expand on it. And I think the concept of hero worshiping and the reality of what that, you know, of that person that you are holding high in some kind of, oh, he's a Guy Fawkes, you know what I mean? He's going to be important to us. That guy you're holding up, that concept is interesting. But the problem is exactly what I said with The Platform too, when I saw it, was it's too, unfortunately, if you're not going to expand and do something interesting or do a new story, you're just doing stuff that hurts the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like exactly that's what's happening here. I feel like this movie kind of hurts the first movie, because the first movie could be held up in a just kind of a, you know, studied, like broken down, like what happened? What does this mean? When does this? And I think that's the beauty of that movie. And unfortunately here, it's that expansion kind of ruins some of the thoughts on the first movie, because they're giving you answers. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I wanted that answer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, you know, there is a really interesting thing here being done where the movie is kind of saying, all right, you have this character and you have the Joker, and then it's just going to keep on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this movie, they kind of make a reference to another Joker, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that concept, again, is very clever, but does it work as a story? Does it work as an entertaining movie? No, absolutely not. And I think that's the sucky part, because that first part, or the parts in the movie that are really entertaining, which is the prison movie, which I find fascinating, because, you know, we have two great actors working off each other in these scenes. And we have this Shawshank Redemption type of feel.
You, of course, are talking about Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, he's amazing. Okay, yeah, he shows up and it just elevates everything.
Yeah.
That part is great. And same thing with, like, the little bits with Catherine Keener. Could be interesting. And they even bring in, Steve Coogan.
Yeah.
He just comes in and you think that's going to be something. And it just gets squandered. Yeah. Like, it's wasted.
It's wasted, yeah.
And it almost forgets that it is going to be a prison, like a courtroom drama, which it could have been better. But that courtroom drama is so sidelined that it's unnecessary to watch.
I know.
It's
pointless when you think about it.
This is a movie that is so completely, it's conflicted in itself that it just makes it so muddled down that it's just like, it's hard to talk about it. It's weird. I didn't hate this movie. I don't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. I was able to sit through it and appreciate some of the artistic, you know, things that they did in it.
There's some great moments.
There's a lot of artistic things in there. But I feel like it was too convoluted, and it kind of just it just took me in and out too much.
Yeah, it really does. And I will say that when it's good, it's good, and when it's bad, it's bad. And I don't while I don't hate it or think it's bad per se, I also don't think I like it.
Yeah.
So
I struggled with that too throughout the whole movie, because there was like, okay, wow, I think I really like this movie. And then it would just skew off into some other tangent. And I'm just like, all right, I don't know.
There are bits that are, I mean, there's bits that I was thinking, oh, this is like an American Psycho feel, something really intriguing about watching this. And
yeah.
And then it just isn't in other parts. And I don't even know how to say it. But if I had to rate this movie.
You have to rate it.
if I had to give it a score. Because it's one of these movies that in maybe a few days I'll change my mind. But we always talk about this.
It's hard to review right now. It really is.
It's one of those. Well, we talk about this all the time on the show. We bring this up. But we do these instant raw reviews. You know, we give these instant thoughts about what we're about to see and, you know, things to go into it. And then we give you these afterthoughts that are completely, you know, I want to do that. I want to give people the instant walking out of the theater conversation.
Yeah, we literally just got back. We don't talk to each other after we leave the theater. We wait to talk here.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to do that raw thing, but I have to point that out, that it is raw. And after a few days, I might dislike this more, or I might like it a little bit more. But right now, the only way to fairly judge this movie is to say it is extremely mediocre because of the tilting back and forth between bad and good.
Yeah, it just didn't understand what it wanted to do. It kept fucking with us a little bit. I was like, all right, is any of this real? Like, it's how much of it is real? I know a lot. Most of it is going on in his head.
I don't think so.
I mean, they tell you
in this movie when things aren't going on in his head.
Right.
There's not even a thought.
I mean, they don't have like a Sonny and Cher freaking variety show. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, come on. I know that's going on in his head. But
and while that looks cool, that does not work in the story scenes.
Right. It doesn't.
It just comes in there like, they just want, you know, it'd be fun if we did this.
Right.
I'm like, damn, that does not work.
No.
It doesn't work.
It's like, it was supposed to be like a spectacle. But it just didn't, it kind of just fell flat for me.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, what we should point out too, is the director. This is not his first time doing a movie where he makes a sequel. And it's like, did you need to do this?
Right.
And, you know, he directed the Hangover series. And the Hangover series is literally the same movie over and over. But somehow they get less and less funny.
Right.
Or interesting. And I actually think that series gets so forgettable because of those sequels. And I honestly think the sequels hurt the first movie, which is a real funny movie.
Yes, the first one is great.
And then the second one, you're just like, what happened in that one?
Yeah.
And the third one, it's like, is that the one where this happened? It's just like, it's tired because it literally is copy-paste.
Yeah.
And I think here again, we have something along the same issue.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like copy paste with a little bit of glitter thrown in.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens in the Hangover series. Like, oh, new location, new crazy location, sequence, but still. And I think that's the only way to say it. The only way to judge this movie is to say 5.
It is mediocre. I mean, I wanted to give it a higher score because he's just so fucking good, Joaquin Phoenix.
He's good, but very wasted. And I think that he doesn't get the credit all the time. I feel like this guy should always be winning Academy Awards because
I know
I saw Bo is Afraid. And I was like, how is everybody not talking about his performance in this movie? Even if you don't like the movie, he's so good in that film.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go with the mediocre 5.
It's got to be a 5 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, really appreciated the first one so much. I gave it a very high score. So for this one to be a letdown, it kind of sucks. But I don't
know. You kind of knew it. You kind of called it with the trailer.
Yeah, I just felt it. There was something that just bothered me about the trailer. And then as I was seeing it over and over, and it was like just punching me in the face, I'm like, oh no, this is going to be bad. This is just not going to be what I want it to be, or what it should be, or what it has potential to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 5. It's not the worst thing. It's not a terrible movie, but yeah,
I've seen
not,
so much worse. This is not the worst movie.
Of course, we've seen worse.
I've seen people say it's the worst movie of the year. I'm like, it is not that bad.
No.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, it's your opinion. You can have that opinion.
Sure,
fine.
Of course.
But I don't think so.
I mean, to say it's the worst movie of the year so far, when, like, Madame Web, which apparently has made more money than this movie, and they're pointing that out a lot.
Megalopolis exists, so.
And apparently people like that movie. Okay. So it's like, that one's being fought over.
All right.
And I'm like, no. I mean, Madame Web is way worse.
As
a comic book film goes?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes, for sure, as a comic book film.
And I will say that I can see why people of the comic books, or who love comic books, this isn't, like, there is any resemblance to the comics. It doesn't even seem to matter.
No.
It almost doesn't matter. And it sucks because in the first one, they set up this really interesting thing with Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
And this movie just doesn't give a shit.
No. Mm-mm. They're like, okay, we're going to do something else now.
Yeah. Not even referencing.
No.
Yeah.
No, but they did reference Harvey Dent. You know, they threw a couple of things in there.
What sucks is in the first movie, I think, the Harvey Dent thing's pointless, though.
Yeah, it is.
In the first movie, what was really interesting is they're saying that Joker, they're showing you, because he's what he's doing, the people are, like, having an uproar, and they're using him as some kind of, like, you know, messiah of, like, this fighting back.
Right.
But they're saying that that led to the Waynes being killed that night.
Right.
And you think that that would have effect on this courtroom, that Bruce Wayne might be, you know, a part of this.
Right.
And that would have been really interesting to say that, you know, that night, this chaos that he created caused that effect. Unless I missed it. I know there was a reference in there where they showed the city and they showed his name on a building.
Yeah.
I don't think the child was ever said to be killed or anything, but it would have been interesting to have more of that be a part of this.
Yeah, I agree. There's so much that they could have done, but it was just they just failed to deliver anything. Like, I don't want to say of substance, but there was a lot in there that was pretty cool. But otherwise, I just feel like it was just lacking so much. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I got to say. I mean, I could say stuff that would feel spoiler, like a more spoiler, but it's not even pointless. Yeah,
it's
so.
It's pointless.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
So that's all we got.
So that's all we got. It's a 5. I mean, see it or don't. It's not going to change your life, and it's not going to, you know, it's all right.
We're going to forget about this movie very quickly, I think. There's a part of me that thinks I might think about it a little more and get to that shifting of my score, but
yeah.
I don't think I'll. It's not even. It doesn't seem like it's going to marinate much.
No, because I mean, I hate to say it. Like, I hate to base, like, my thoughts and my feelings on just the trailer before I even see the film. But I just had a feeling. I don't know. Something wrong with it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Hit us up on social media and tell us your thoughts at Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. I'd appreciate it, and I appreciate you listening. Until next time, have a good one. Bye.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble.
We're gonna build a mountain.